Welcome to another edition of Monday's Message. This is a podcast of A.T. Stewart Ministries. I'm your host, A.T. Stewart. Now, we are going to continue with our study of knowing and understanding God. It is very important that we as Christians know our God. If there's one thing true about the American culture, is that it does not truly know the God of Scripture. And in this series, we will be seeking to understand God not from what people say or what you pick up from a movie or on the television, but from the Word of God. The only way to know God is through His Word. So let's listen to God's Word together.
How many of you ever felt that way? There you go. Overwhelmed? Like your world is falling apart around you? Like you looked around at your situation and it looked like a totally impossible situation? You thought, man, there's just no way I can make it. Like the deck of life is stacked against you? Have you ever felt like you were at the wrong place, the wrong time? On the receiving end of a right hook. They're like, man, what's going on, Lord? I'm just facing innumerable odds. Have you ever felt like your world is just falling apart all around you? Can you identify with this guy? Everything just seems to be crumbling right before your eyes. Well, if you felt any of these emotions and found yourself in any situations like that, then you need to get acquainted with the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. Today we're going to see Jehovah Sabaoth. Turn to Psalm 46. You see, God always reveals that aspect of Himself that His people need at that moment. We saw last week when God's people need God to provide lest they perish, they need to know Him as Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. We saw a few weeks before that when God's people are in danger of becoming like the world around them, they need to know Him as Yahweh Makedesh, the Lord who sanctifies, who sets us apart. And when God's people are facing innumerable odds, they feel like their world is falling to pieces around them, they need to know Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Beginning in verse 1 of Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. When our world is falling apart, when the mountains are falling into the sea, when there are tidal waves and earthquakes, we are not to fear, because the Lord of hosts is with us. The psalmist said, though the world is falling all apart, and he pictures the mountains falling into the ocean, and he pictures tremendous earthquakes and tidal waves, and everything's just falling apart around him, he said, I'm not going to be afraid though, because Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, is with us. Now you may be thinking, Pastor A.T., you know, that worked for the psalmist, but you know, to be honest, it just kind of leaves me high and dry. Why did this realization that the Lord of hosts was with the psalmist give him peace, yet it leaves us cold? It's because the psalmist was intimately acquainted with the Lord of hosts. And he knew the Lord of hosts very dearly. And therefore, he didn't need to be afraid, even though everything was falling apart around him. And if we knew the Lord of hosts like he knew the Lord of hosts, then we could say the same thing. When we feel overwhelmed, when we feel like everything is just going wrong, when we feel like that there's no possible way out, when we feel like the odds are just innumerable against us, we could still have peace and not be afraid if we knew the Lord of hosts as the psalmist does. You see, we must know the Lord of hosts, and because He is a covenant God, He has committed Himself to be the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, to you and to me, His covenant people. And so He is our Lord of hosts, just like He was for the psalmist. But it's not enough for Him simply to be our Lord of hosts, but we must believe and receive Him into our situation as the Lord of hosts. And so God comes to His people in their difficult situations, and He comes as the Lord of hosts. Maybe today you're facing a difficult situation. Maybe you feel like things are just stacked up against you and there's no possible solution. I want to suggest that you come to know Jehovah Sabaoth, that you receive the Lord of hosts into your situation. And we're going to look at three instances in Scripture where the Lord of hosts showed up when His people were facing impossible situations. And I hope that you will become acquainted with Him in a greater way than you have before. And that you will leave this place today saying, I want to know the Lord of hosts in a deeper way. I want Him to be the Lord of hosts in my situation. And I want to have peace. I want to be free from fear, no matter what's happening to me. The first example is over in Joshua chapter 5. So take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Joshua. That's over in the Old Testament, toward the beginning. The situation is the nation of Israel is facing an impossible situation. Over in Joshua chapter 6, they have been given the responsibility of going in and capturing the promised land that's filled with giants and filled with enemy soldiers. There are tremendous strongholds that are there in the promised land, and yet they've been given the responsibility of going in and defeating those armies and possessing the land. Now the very first obstacle that confronts them when they cross over the Jordan River is this massive walled city of Jericho. Look in chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was tightly shut because of the sons of Israel. No one went out and no one came in. Now the normal way to defeat a city in these days was to lay siege to it. That you would station your army around that city and you would not allow anyone to come out. You would not allow anyone to go in. And you basically would wait and starve them out. It may take 2, 3, 4 years. They were patient back then. Well, there's a problem when it comes to Israel. They don't have supplies to last them long at all. You remember? They've been eating manna. Every day the God's been providing manna. And the day they crossed over the Jordan River, God quit providing that manna. There's no way they can lay siege. Excavations have been done at this ancient site of Jericho. And do you know what they found? They found that there were two separate walls surrounding this city. The first wall was about 6 feet thick. The second wall was 12 feet thick. And the space in between those two walls was filled with rubble. And so you can see it was an impregnable fortress. There was no human way that Joshua and the children of Jericho could defeat this city. You can see the little figures, the men figures there at the bottom. These walls were high. They were massive. There was no way. And so Joshua goes up on a hill and he looks over this massive city and he must have been thinking, Lord, how? This is the first obstacle. We can't take the promised land if we don't take Jericho, but how in the world? And to add to the problem, Jericho had a spring within it. So they had water to drink, and they had just harvested the harvest. And so they had plenty of food. Jericho could wait them out. The Israelites would starve before they would. And so Joshua is looking over the situation, and we pick up the story in chapter 5, verse 13. Now it came about when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and he looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" Joshua sees this man with a sword drawn, and he immediately says, "Are you on my side or their side? Who are you?" Verse 14. He said, that is, the man with the sword, "No, rather, I indeed come now as captain of the host of the Lord." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and he bowed down, and he said to him, "What has my Lord to say to his servant?" And the captain of the Lord's host said to Joshua, "Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." And Joshua did so. Does that remind you of any other place where somebody was told to take off their shoes because they were standing on holy ground? You remember Moses at the burning bush when God showed up? All right, here, the writer makes this clear. Moses says, "Hey, look, you know," or Joshua, when he was writing this, says, "Look, you know, I want you to know, God's showing up here. This captain of the Lord's host is none other than Jesus Christ, who is showing up in His pre-incarnate appearance." Jesus shows up throughout the Old Testament, and here He's showing up as the Lord of hosts, Yahweh Sabaoth. And notice that Joshua recognizes who He is. Now, let's look at this term, host. What did Jesus mean when He called Himself the captain of the host of the Lord? Now, was He saying He was a captain of Israel's armies? No. Joshua was the leader of Israel's armies. No, Jesus was saying that He was the captain, He was the commander-in-chief of the angelic army of God. That innumerable amount of angels, warrior, mighty angels that God has at His disposal, at which Jesus is their general, their commander-in-chief. We look over in Deuteronomy, chapter 33, verse 2, we see a reference to this passage. He said, and this is when Moses is blessing the Israelites before his death, he said, "The Lord came from Sinai. He dawned on them from Seir. He shone forth from Mount Paran. And He came from the midst of 10,000 holy ones. At His right hand there was flashing lightning for them." Those holy ones are His angels He's talking about. God has an army of angels that He commits to help His people when they are facing innumerable situations. When the odds are against them, when the situation looks impossible, the Lord of hosts has an angelic army at His disposal that He will use to help His people. Now notice, then Jesus, the captain of the Lord's host, gives Joshua instructions of what he is to do. Beginning with verse 2, chapter 6. "And the Lord said to Joshua, 'See, I have given Jericho into your hand, with its king and its valiant warriors. You shall march around the city, all the men of war circling the city once. You shall do so for 6 days. Also, 7 priests shall carry the 7 trumpets of the ram's horns before the ark. Then on the 7th day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall be that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people will go up every man straight ahead.'" God said, "This is what you got to do. Take you guys, march around the city 1 time a day for 6 days. On the 7th day, march around it 7 times, and then have your army blow the trumpets and shout, and the walls are going to come tumbling down." imagine how Joshua must have felt and how his generals must have reacted when he went to them and said, guys, I got a plan to take this massive city. And here it is. Why was it that Jesus required that Joshua go through this routine of going around the city for 6 days and then on the seventh day going around it 7 times and blowing the trumpets and shouting? I think it was because Israel had to express obedient faith in order for the Lord of hosts to send forth His angelic army to crush those walls. If God had simply crushed the walls without Israel doing anything, there would have been no sign of faith on their part. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says it was by faith that the walls of Jericho fell. And so when Israel was obediently following God's instructions, they were moving out in faith that the Lord of hosts would send forth His angelic army, and when the time came, He would crush those walls. So you see, it's not enough just to know that the Lord of hosts is on your side, but you must receive Him into your situation through faith. And look in verse 20 of chapter 6. When they followed God's instruction, so the people shouted, and I think it was a victory shout, and they shouted victory before the walls fell, and the priests blew the trumpets, and when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Excavations have also shown that these walls crumbled just like it says in Scripture. In fact, you remember how the guys were down here and the wall was way up here? Well, the walls crumbled and made a ramp. And each man went straight ahead up into the city of Jericho. Archaeological excavations affirm what the Scripture clearly teaches. The Lord of hosts came through and delivered His people from an impossible situation. The second example is found over in 2 Kings chapter 6. Over to the right in your Bible, 2 Kings chapter 6. This has to do with the prophet Elisha. It seems that the king of Aram was at war with the king of Israel. And naturally, he wanted to surprise the king of Israel and ambush him when he was traveling through the countries. And so the king of Syria, known as Aram, either one's first, the same place. Your translation, depending on which one you have, may call it Syria, may call it Aram. But the king of Aram would go and put his troops at a certain place to ambush the king of Israel and his armies when he came by. But something would happen to foil his plans. Elisha, God would reveal to Elisha where the king of Aram was, and he would go tell the king of Israel, and the king of Israel wouldn't go that way. Well, after this happened a few times, the king of Aram got right frustrated, and he said, who in my court is a spy? Somebody in my court must be telling the king of Israel what's going on. And his court said, huh, not us, king. It's that old prophet, Elisha. That guy knows what you say in your bedroom. Well, the king of Aram said, well, I'm going to take care of him. Go find out where he is. I'm going to go get him. Well, we pick up our story in 2 Kings 6, beginning in verse 13. So he said, that is the king of Aram, go and see where he is, that I may send and take him. And it was told to him, behold, he is in Dothan. And that wasn't Dothan, Alabama, for you Alabama folk. And he sent horses and chariots and a great army there. And they came by night and they surrounded the city. Here Elisha is sleeping in his tent and this huge army of Arameans come and surround the city. Horses and chariots and mighty soldiers. Impossible situation. All that against one little prophet. And early that morning, Elisha's attendant, his servant, wakes up and goes outside the tent, and he sees this massive army surrounding them everywhere they look. Verse 15. Now when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, at last, my master, what are we to do? Now, you think he was felt like he was at the wrong place at the wrong time? I'm just serving you, Elisha. Look what trouble you've gotten us into. Man, we're done. There's no way out of this. But do you think Elisha was upset? Do you think Elisha was fearful? You think Elisha was afraid? Now, look what Elisha said. Verse 16. And so he answered, do not fear. What do you mean, don't be afraid? Can't you see what I see? And Elisha could see what he saw, yeah. But he could see more than what the servant saw. That was the difference. Elisha knew Jehovah Sabaoth. He knew the Lord of hosts. And he knew the Lord's host was there with him. And he said to him, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Imagine that servant say, what? I don't see anybody here but me and you. What do you mean there's more with us than there are with them? And then Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes that he may see, verse 17. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes. And what did he see? Behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. That's why he wasn't afraid. He knew God's angelic army was there. And one angel can kill over 100,000 troops. That happens in the Scripture. Much less a whole army of angels. There was no reason to be afraid. Verse 18, and when they came to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people with blindness, I pray. So he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, let me make a note here. There is a heresy being taught today in some circles that we should know who our angels are or who our guardian angel is, and we should communicate with that angel. That is heresy. That is not biblical. Now, we are to pray to the Lord of the host, not to the host of the Lord. You don't see Elijah addressing these angels and telling them and asking them to do something. You have absolutely no business talking to God's angels. They don't listen to you anyway. They follow His command. Satan's ploy is to get us away from God. And if he can bring an angel, a demon, and appear to you as an angel of light, to get you to start carrying on conversations and depending on this angel to do stuff for you, he's got you trapped. And there's a lot of teaching about angels that's not biblical. Telling people to get in touch with your angel. Talk to your angel. Your angel will help you. You talk to God. You let Him deal with the angels. Don't you be communicating. I don't care if one shows up and starts talking to you. You just say, I'm going to talk to you. I'm talking to Jesus. But he's not going to listen. If he listens to you, buddy, he's not an angel of God. I can tell you that. If he does anything you tell him to do, he's not an angel of God because he's under the Lord of hosts, not under you. So, remember, look at Elisha talked to the Lord. And the Lord worked. And on his behalf. But it wasn't enough, you see, just for the Lord of hosts to be there because he was there. He had to be received through faith and acted on through faith. All right, now look in the third example, 1 Samuel chapter 17. Back to the left. This is a story of David and Goliath. Most of you know that story, don't you? You ever wondered why David wasn't afraid when all the mighty warriors of Israel were? Why wasn't he afraid of this giant? I mean, he was just a teenage boy, a shepherd. He wasn't no trained warrior, but he wasn't afraid because he knew the Lord of hosts. That's why he wasn't afraid. He knew the Lord of hosts was on his side. You say, well, how do you know that, preacher? Well, he said so. Yeah. Look, beginning in verse 45. When David confronts Goliath in 1 Samuel 17, beginning verse 45. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth. I come to you, and to come in the name was to come in the person. He said, you're coming here with all this weaponry, coming against me, all this armor you have on, but I'm coming to you not with sword, not with spear. I'm coming to you with something much better. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. I've got the angelic army behind me. Your sword, your spear, it won't amount to anything because the Lord of hosts is with me. Look at what else he goes on to say. This day, verse 46, the Lord will deliver you into my hands. David knew it wasn't him. It wasn't his abilities. It wasn't his mastery with the sling that was going to bring the victory. He knew the Lord was going to bring it, the Lord of hosts. And I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And He will give you into our hands. And then notice what David did, verse 48. And then it happened when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David. It's one thing to talk about a game, but now when the giant starts approaching, it's a different story. Look what David does, though. David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. He didn't cower. He didn't draw back. Man, he took off, running toward him. Hallelujah. He knew the Lord of hosts was there. You know why I think he was running? I think he was catching up with the angels. He didn't want to get left behind in this thing. He was excited about it. And God gave the victory, verse 50. Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. And he struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in David's hand. God, the Lord of hosts, gave the victory. Now, the Lord of hosts was there for Israel. He had committed himself to be their Lord of hosts. But it was not until one boy believed and received the Lord of hosts into the situation that they had the victory. Do you see that? God is the Lord of hosts for you if you're a Christian. But you must receive Him and believe Him in your particular situation if you're going to see Him act on your behalf. Bertha Smith was one of our Southern Baptist missionaries in China before the communists took over. The communists in their takeover made all the missionaries leave. And I heard Bertha Smith tell this story. And I believe it's true because she told it. And she is a woman of integrity. But during the communist takeover, the missionaries were trying to flee the country before they were captured and perhaps killed. But the communists had destroyed the railroad track and they had trapped them in the city, and she was trapped with some other missionaries in the hospital in the city. And she says they were held up in a room there that had a window in it, and a hand grenade exploded outside of that window, throwing glass and shrapnel through that window. And Bertha Smith said not one piece of glass or shrapnel touched her at all. She said, in fact, when she got up, you could see the outline of her body against the wall where the shrapnel and glass had gone everywhere else. It was like she was standing up against the wall and it just went all around her. And her imprint was on the wall. So they left that room and they went to another room and it had some glass in it as well. And she said there was an explosion and the glass shattered all over her. And this was before safety glass. But she was not cut or scratched one bit. God's protection, God's mighty warrior angels were there on her behalf. I also read this story in one of Billy Graham's books, and so I believe in the veracity of it. But he tells the story of a missionary family during World War II that was doing mission work on one of the South Pacific islands. And the Japanese were taking over this island, and this missionary and his family had not been able to escape. And the word came that the Japanese were approaching. They were moving through the island, killing everything in sight. all the enemy being killed, all the people being killed. And they knew that unless God intervened, their demise was certain. And so they gathered in the center of the house and they began to pray, and they could even hear the Japanese troops approaching their small house. And so they just centered themselves, the missionary and his family, in the middle of the house and just began to pray and ask God to protect them. And they heard the Japanese talking and getting closer, and then all of a sudden the Japanese voices began to get softer, and they could tell that they were moving around the house. And then slowly the Japanese voices got quieter and quieter, and they were gone. They had left them miraculously unharmed, undisturbed. Years later, this missionary was preaching in Japan, and he told this story about what happened. And after he finished preaching, this Japanese man came up to him and he said, "I was with those troops that came that day to your house on that island." He said, "I got a question I want to ask you." He said, "Who were those four tall, shining men standing on each of the four corners of your house with the shining armor?" You know who they were, don't you? They were the Lord's host. Now you know why the psalmist could say, "The Lord is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble." Even though the mountain should fall into the heart of the sea, even though its waters should roar and foam, we won't be afraid, because the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Do you know the Lord of hosts? Have you received Him into your situation? There are angels all around this place today. They're all inside of here. They're all over this property. His mighty warrior angels. His host. You say, "How do you know?" "Because I've asked Him to put them here. There are angels all around my house. All around. And you need to be asking Him to put His mighty host around your house. Around your family. Anywhere my kids go, God's angels go around to protect them. And if you have not prayed, you need to say, "Lord of hosts, I receive You into my situation. As a captain of the Lord's host, I'm asking You to place Your mighty warrior angels around my house, over, under, around, and through to protect us from every attack of the enemy. Put them around my children, my family, as they go their way during the day." People, tomorrow is Halloween, one of the most evil days of the year. It is my understanding that the forces of the enemy, the demons and the witches, it is a high celebration day for them. There will be much evil going on tomorrow. If you have not done so before, you need to ask God to place His mighty warrior angels around your family, around your property, and He will. He delights in you realizing you need His protection. Fathers, you need to be praying and asking God to protect your family, your house, your property. They call me up. We're from a security service. Do you have a security service? "Oh yeah, I do. I don't have to pay $30 a month either." "Amen." I said, "You ought to just see them. They're all over the place. Mighty warrior angels." Now, that's my security. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Do you know Him? Will you receive Him into your situation? He will fight on your behalf. He's committed Himself to do it as your covenant God. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You are Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Thank You that we can ask You and You will gladly send forth Your angelic host on our behalf to protect us from the attacks that the enemy of our soul would want to perpetrate against us and against our kids. Who would want to tear up our family, want to destroy this church. Thank You that You are that God for us, the Lord of hosts. Amen.